Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. And this time, we're heading back to ancient Judah to take a closer look at the reign of King Amaziah. And for this one, we're going to be working with excerpts from a lecture series by Dr. John Oswalt. He's a pretty big name in biblical scholarship, and he's done some really interesting work on the books of Kings.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I mean, he just has this way of bringing these historical figures to life. You know, it's not just about the events, but he really digs into their motivations and the theological context of, you know, the time period.
Exactly. And that's really important for this deep dive on Amaziah, because the source material, specifically 2 Kings 13 and 14, you know, it paints this really kind of intriguing picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
It describes him as a king who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, how can you do the right thing but not have the right heart behind it?
Right.
Like, what does that even mean, especially for someone who's a leader?
That's such a good question. It really gets you thinking about this whole idea of a divided heart.
Yeah.
You know, like, can we really separate our actions from our true motivations? And what are the consequences of that kind of internal division, especially for someone in a position of power?
That's huge, right?
Yeah.
And to really kind of unpack that, I think we need to get a little bit of background on Amaziah himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes to the throne of Judah when he's just 25 years old after his father, King Joash, is assassinated.
Wow.
And there's this interesting little detail about his mother, Jehoadan, being from Jerusalem, which kind of makes you wonder if there's more to that story, you know, especially given like how important lineage was back then.
Yeah, it's like a little breadcrumb that the text drops, right?
Right.
Makes you want to know more.
Totally. So going back to this divided heart idea, Dr. Oswalt gives this really interesting analogy that I think a lot of us can connect with.
Yep.
He talks about these people he knew growing up. They were farmers and they were like incredibly honest and trustworthy in their dealings, but their faith wasn't really personal. It was more like they were following this set of moral guidelines, you know, without having a real relationship with God.
Yeah, like checking boxes.
Yeah, almost like compartmentalizing, right?
Right. It reminds me of those times when we try to do that in our own lives.
Oh, totally.
You know, like we might act super professional at work, but then our personal relationships are a mess, or we volunteer for all the right causes, but deep down we're struggling with our own issues.
Exactly. You know, it makes you wonder if anyone can really live with that kind of division without it catching up to them eventually.
Right. And it's interesting because Dr. Oswalt contrasts this with King Asa.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who we've talked about before. And Asa was described as having a perfect heart, even though he made some pretty questionable decisions because he didn't really know the scriptures that well.
Yeah, he was kind of shooting from the hip.
It seems like he genuinely wanted to please God, though.
Yeah. Even if he didn't always know the right way to go about it.
It makes you think about which is more important, right?
Yeah.
Is it the intention or is it the action?
That's a tough one.
If someone's heart is in the right place, but they mess up.
Right.
Are they off the hook? Or do both, like, the internal motivation and the external actions matter?
I mean, ideally, there should both be there, right?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something to consider as we dive deeper into Amaziah's story.
Definitely.
Because right from the start, he faces this really tricky situation.
Okay.
So he orders the execution of the people who murdered his father, which, you know.
Makes sense.
Given the circumstances.
It's understandable.
But then he refuses to punish their children.
Oh, really?
He specifically cites Mosaic law, which says you can't hold children accountable for the sins of their parents.
Huh, that's interesting.
Right. It seems like he's trying to balance justice with mercy.
Yeah.
Upholding the law while also extending some grace.
Mm-hmm. But it also kind of opens up this whole can of worms.
Oh, yeah. About God's justice and mercy in the Old Testament.
For sure.
Especially that passage in Exodus 34, where it describes God as being forgiving, yet punishing sin to the third and fourth generation.
Right.
Like, how do we make sense of that?
I know. It's like, wait, so is God forgiving or is he not?
Right. It seems like a contradiction.
On one hand, you have this loving, forgiving God. And then on the other hand, you have this idea of generational curses. Mm. Like, how do those two ideas coexist?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, Dr. Oswalt offers this really interesting interpretation. He suggests that while God definitely forgives those who repent the natural consequences of sin, those can still affect future generations.
I see.
Like ripples in a pond.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
You know, they just keep spreading outwards.
So it's not that God's directly punishing the kids and grandkids,
yeah,
but it's more like the impact of our choices.
Right.
Both good and bad.
Exactly.
They just kind of keep echoing down the line.
And you can kind of see that in your own life too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, think about how family patterns, whether they're positive or negative, can get passed down.
Yeah.
It's like we inherit this legacy, not just of genetics, but of choices and behaviors.
That's a powerful way to think about it. It adds another layer to this whole divided heart thing.
Right, because even when someone's doing what seems like the right thing, like Amaziah upholding Mosaic law, are they really acting from a place of genuine conviction?
Right.
Or are they still being influenced by those echoes of past sins and maybe some unresolved stuff inside?
And if those echoes are still there, you know, how does that impact not just their own life,
yeah,
but also the lives of everyone around them, their family, their community, their nation even?
It's a ripple effect.
It really is.
It can be huge.
Yeah.
And it can last for generations.
For sure. So where do we go from here?
Well, next time we'll pick up with what happens to Amaziah after this decision. Mm. I mean, does his commitment to justice and mercy, even in the face of personal tragedy, you know, does that play out in the rest of his reign?
Okay, so tune in for part two of our deep dive on Amaziah, where we'll find out if he can overcome this divided heart or if it ultimately leads to his downfall. And as always, thanks for listening. Okay, so we left off with Amaziah, you know, showing this real commitment to justice and mercy, but also kind of wrestling with this whole divided heart thing.
Right, like, are his actions really lining up with his true beliefs?
Exactly. So what happens next in his story?
Well, after this big victory against Edom, Amaziah seems to let it go to his head a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he challenges King Jehoash of Israel to battle.
Bold move.
And here's the thing. He does it without even bothering to consult God, you know.
Oh, no. So he's basically saying, I got this. I don't need God's help anymore.
Pretty much. And that's kind of a red flag, right? Uh-huh. Especially if we're thinking about this whole idea of a divided heart.
Totally. It's like he's putting all his faith in his own strength and forgetting about where his true power comes from.
Exactly. And it reminds me of that story about Samson in Judges. You know, after he loses his strength, he goes out to fight like he used to, not realizing that God's not with him anymore.
Right.
There's that same kind of presumption and misplaced confidence in Amaziah's actions.
Okay, so what does Jehoash say when Amaziah throws down this challenge?
Well, basically, he laughs in his face.
Ouch.
Yeah, he mocks him.
Yeah.
Compares Judah to this tiny little thistle and Israel to a giant cedar.
Okay, so not a good comparison for Amaziah.
Not at all. He's saying, you're like a weed trying to take on a whole forest. You're totally out of your league.
I feel like this isn't going to end well for Amaziah.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah.
He even compares himself to a wild beast that's about to trample some helpless little plant.
Oh, man.
Just to really drive home the point that they're not even on the same level.
Talk about adding insult to injury.
Right. Well, spoiler alert, the battle goes exactly as Jehoash predicted.
Of course it does.
Judah gets absolutely destroyed, and Amaziah is taken captive.
So he loses the battle and becomes a prisoner of war.
Yep. It's a pretty humiliating defeat, both militarily and symbolically.
Yeah, not exactly what you want to see from a king who's supposed to be chosen by God.
Right. But Jehoash doesn't stop there.
Hmm.
He marches on Jerusalem, breaks down the city walls.
No way.
Plunders the temple treasures, takes hostages, the whole nine yards.
Wow. So he basically just completely dismantles Judah.
Pretty much. He heads back to Samaria like a conquering hero.
This is like some serious biblical drama. It's like Game of Thrones or something.
It definitely has that epic feel, doesn't it?
It totally does. And it makes you wonder, did Amaziah's divided heart play a role in all of this?
That's the big question, right?
Like, was his pride and self-reliance ultimately what led to his downfall?
It's hard to say for sure, but it definitely seems possible.
It all goes back to that idea. Can you really separate your actions from your internal state?
Right.
If your heart's not fully in it, does it eventually catch up with you?
And we see that theme pop up all the time, right, in history and literature.
Yeah.
Leaders who start believing their own hype, they lose sight of their values, and it usually ends badly.
So what happens to Amaziah after this? Does he spend the rest of his life as a prisoner?
That's where things get a little fuzzy. The text says that he lived for another 15 years after Jehoash died, but it doesn't say how long he was imprisoned.
So there's a chance he was released at some point.
Exactly. And that raises another question. What was his relationship like with his son Uzziah?
Oh, right, because Uzziah was ruling as co-regent while Amaziah was gone.
Exactly. So did they rule together peacefully once Amaziah got back, or was there some tension there?
Yeah, the Bible doesn't really give us any details.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
It is. You get so invested in these stories, and then there are these missing pieces that make you want to know more.
Right, but even with those gaps, Amaziah's story is still so compelling.
Oh, totally.
It really makes you think about leadership, about the connection between faith and action, and about what happens when our hearts are divided.
For sure. And to make things even more interesting, the text tells us that Amaziah was eventually assassinated when he got back to Judah.
Right. Talk about a plot twist.
So was this some kind of power grab? Was Uzziah involved?
Yeah.
You don't know.
The Bible leaves us hanging on that one.
Ugh, I hate cliffhangers.
But okay, before we go full conspiracy theory mode, let's focus on one last detail in Amaziah's story.
Okay.
It might seem small, but it actually tells us a lot about his character. Remember how at the beginning, when Amaziah first became king, he had those guys executed who killed his father?
Right, the assassins.
But then he wouldn't punish their kids.
Yeah, he said it went against Mosaic law.
It seemed like he was trying to be fair, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like balancing justice with mercy.
Right, and Dr. Oswald points out that this detail, it's easy to miss it.
Yeah, it's kind of buried in all the other drama.
But he says it's actually super important for understanding Amaziah.
Yeah, he thinks it reveals something really profound about his character.
So even though he's driven by revenge, you know, wanting to punish the people who murdered his father.
Right.
He still holds on to this higher principle.
Exactly. He chooses to follow a law that promotes fairness and restraint, even when it might have been easier to just get rid of anyone who could be a threat.
It's like deep down, he really did want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't just about what was convenient or what would make him feel better.
It makes you wonder, though, does that one act of, you know, principled justice, does it make up for all the other times when he messed up?
Right, or when he let his pride get in the way.
Can we really judge someone's heart based on just a few decisions, especially when they're made under so much pressure?
That's a tough question, and it brings us back to what we've been talking about this whole time. What does it mean to have a divided heart?
Yeah.
I think Amaziah's story really shows us how complicated this can be.
Totally.
He proves that just being outwardly religious or following the rules isn't enough.
Right.
Real righteousness.
Yeah.
It has to come from a deeper place, you know?
Like your heart and your actions have to be aligned.
Exactly. And I think we can all relate to that to some extent, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We've all had those times when we didn't live up to our own ideals.
Totally. Those moments when you compromise your values or you react out of anger instead of thinking things through.
We're all human. We all make mistakes.
The point is to learn from them, right?
Exactly, and try to do better next time.
So how do we do that? How do we become more whole, more true to ourselves?
I think it starts with being honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
Recognizing those areas where we tend to give in to temptation.
Right.
And making a conscious effort to live in a way that reflects our deepest values.
It's a journey, right?
It is a lifelong process of learning and growing.
And maybe that's the biggest lesson we can take away from Amaziah's story.
Even with all his flaws and contradictions, he still teaches us something valuable.
It's a reminder that none of us are perfect.
We're all works in progress.
We're all trying to figure things out as we go.
And that's okay.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into the life of King Amaziah, we'll leave you with this.
How can his story inspire you to take a closer look at your own heart?
What are your motivations, your values?
And how can you bridge that gap between who you are and who you want to be?
Thanks for joining us on this journey.
Until next time, keep exploring.